When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It is a big old Thursday WIP afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz here with you. Ike, how are we feeling?
Oh, Spike Lee, I'm doing pretty good, brother. Jackie baseball. Don't worry, we still got time. Free agency doesn't heat up for a while.
There's no hot stove.
Yeah, there's no hot stove. But holler at your boy.
We're keeping the stove hot all off season.
What is the temperature outside?
Yeah.
Only thing I care about today?
Yeah.
We got a fire tortorella.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
get that bum out of here.
Well, so we normally don't do two Flyers. We are the official Flyer show on WIP in the city. We don't usually do two Flyers and 50s in a week, certainly not in consecutive days. But Tortorella benching our guy Michkov when they're trying to rebuild. So we're going to have an emergency Flyers and 50 at 3:30. We're actually going to let you, we'll let them vote on Twitter. We're thinking about giving Broads 10 extra seconds today. He's currently at 42 seconds. It's Flyers and 50. So we'll let you vote on Twitter how many seconds Broads is going to get. But I am told, Jack, Broads is pretty hot about this Tortorella Michkov thing, right?
Yeah, multiple emergency videos I've seen from him. He's on fire.
It's going to be good. So we have a big show. Tyrese Maxey's out for a few weeks. Shield Kapadia joins us at 3. Mike Lombardi joins us at 4. We'll have a Sacrifice for Soto update. Some really infuriating J.J. Redick audio. But I made the mistake. I sound like my father now. I made the mistake of listening to WIP earlier today. Yes, it was a huge mistake. And I heard two things that really got me going. First, Angelo was on with the morning show saying how Nick Sirianni is going to cost them the chance to win
Angelo
the Super Bowl.
Angelo Castaldi.
Yep. And then I hear Giglio doing the same thing. Nick Sirianni is going to cost him. Here is my message to Nick Sirianni. And I want to make this abundantly clear. Nick Sirianni should continue to do what has worked for the organization since 2017, and that is be aggressive. Double down on the things that everyone is telling you not to do, because I'm gonna remind you in a minute of what everyone was telling you a couple of years ago. When you think it is appropriate, Nick Sirianni, when the numbers tell you so, go for it on fourth down. When you think it is appropriate, Nick Sirianni, when you have the ball at the 1 yard line for a 2-point conversion, I want you to go for two. I don't want the Eagles. I don't want Nick Sirianni to change what they're doing and how they do things because in one game, it didn't work the way that they wanted it to. This is how they went to the Super Bowl in 2017. We all remember Big Balls Doug. We all remember the Philly Special. We all remember all that stuff, and we loved it. This is how they went to the Super Bowl in 2022. We all loved going for it on fourth down. We all loved the tush push, getting extra 2-point conversions. And here's the thing that I want to remind you of, Nick Sirianni, if you are listening. If we're being honest, the last criticism of this came after the Super Bowl in the 2022 season when he didn't do those things. Mm-hmm. Remember, you didn't win the Super Bowl in part because you didn't do those things. And the frustration afterwards was, why wasn't he aggressive like he was all season? So I think there are a couple of times this season where Nick Sirianni has heard the fans and the media say certain things and actually has taken it to heart in the right way. But if he takes this to heart, if he takes football strategy to heart, if he takes the organizational ethos of going for it, of listening to the numbers, it will not work the way that it has worked before. Continue to do. I want Nick Sirianni to double down on the strategy they have had and has worked for them for the last 7 years, Ike.
Yeah. I think for the most part, I agree with you. It has been successful for them. I just want him to be able to tweak it a little bit. I think there has to be a feel that is also implemented in your decision making. It can't just be paint by the numbers. And that's what it sort of feels like. And then it gets to a point where the game is on the line or it's tight late and there's difficult decisions to be made. And then you don't necessarily paint by numbers then. Then all of a sudden your gut feeling wants to come involved. And now you're thinking about, well, if I don't get it, then we're probably going to – like you're having much more of that as a thought process versus I'm aggressive, this is what I do, and I'm going with no regrets. I think there are some regrets. There is a nice Nick Sirianni is a football man.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I like about him. Grew up, father, coach, his brother's been involved in football. He played himself. So he there is a natural instinct of being just a football coach and understanding the feeling of the game that's there that I think he struggles with at times going against what the numbers say he should do. The analytics say he should do. This is what there is a tug of war. There's a little bit of that there. There's a little bit of that there. And I think he has to have more conviction when it's a gut feeling. I don't mind being aggressive at times. But I think sometimes being aggressive just for the sake of being aggressive isn't always good. Right? Like, there's a time to be aggressive when you're trying to put a team away, right? Or you're trying to come back. But when you, to me, for instance, and we talked about this Monday, the 16 to 17, 18 is unnecessary. It was unnecessary. For me, up 22, nothing. It's unnecessary to go for two. For me, I'm never going to change my mind
about
that.
I got it.
When you have a chance to make it a two-score game and go up 25-16, kick the field goal. I don't care that it's 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2, and this is what the analytics say you should do. Because the downside of that is you don't get it, and now you left it a one-possession game that you could easily be trailing if the team goes down and scores. It's unnecessary. And I feel like there are times to do it, and there are times where you just got to do what is right there in front of you. Keep it simple. Guys like Mike Tomlin, I never see get cute. He doesn't have the most talented roster every year, doesn't have an elite quarterback. I don't think he's had an elite quarterback, unless we put Big Ben in that category because he won Super Bowls. I don't really know if everybody really viewed Big Ben in the same category with all the Aaron Rodgers and the Peyton Mannings and the Tom Brady's, right?
He's elite in his way,
yes,
whatever it is.
Because
right?
he won.
Because he won. Right?
Because
right,
he
right,
won.
Right. When you look at the numbers, especially in the first Super Bowl, they were bad for
yes.
Roethlisberger.
So yep. I look at guys like Mike Tomlin, who's never had a losing record, and usually gets more out of his teams. His teams rarely underperform. They usually overachieve. And he doesn't play cute football. He doesn't do a whole lot of gambling and going for like, – he doesn't do a whole lot of that. So all I'm saying is I'm not telling you that there isn't a place for it. I think sometimes – we put ourselves in a difficult position by not just doing the easy thing, the simple thing.
215-592-9494. Should Nick Sirianni and the Eagles double down on their strategy of being aggressive or start to play it a little more safe and take the points while they're there? And Jack, before I go to your annoying point, which I know is going to be annoying, I want to make one comment on the don't always do it strategy.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you get into trouble. Because that's when you start second-guessing yourself. In my opinion, that when you start saying, I do it all the time except for this time, that's when the numbers stop working. When you say, this is, you know, I have a 70% better chance of doing it this way than that way, but it doesn't feel right, that's when the numbers stop working. And to me, that's the biggest mistake that Nick Sirianni made on Sunday, was when he did, I thought kicking that field goal at the end of the game was this weird play it safe moment. I'm talking about the 57-yard Jake Elliott field goal.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, go put your foot on their throat. Now, I don't know what the numbers said at that point, and I don't know if he strayed from it at that point or he didn't. But my position on, and I don't want to make it sound like I'm purely an analytics guy. I'm not. But this
too late, by the way.
Well, I'm not. But this sort of stuff, when the numbers say this is a more efficient play than this is, you have to, I hate to quote OG Wade, but you have to do it all the time for it to work. Now, I think there are situations where, hey, look, this guy hurt himself and we're not as strong in this position as we normally are. I think there are mitigating circumstances in that. But when you say it's risky to go for two, what if you don't get it? I say to myself, it's risky to go for one because we could have had two there. And I just think about it the complete opposite way.
That's fine.
That when we kick the three, this is the way my brain is operating. Mm-hmm. When we kick the three, I'm saying to myself, we missed out on 4 points there. That's the way that I'm thinking.
Because you're an analytics guy. You want to say you're not. Only analytics people would think that way, because just natural, just football people are going to be like, we got 3 points.
But
they're not saying we missed out on 4 points. That's not what they're saying.
But I do think, and I don't want to get too deep into this, I do think people's brains assess risk in the wrong way sometimes. They say if I do this, what bad could happen? They only think of the bad that could happen instead of the good that could happen.
Well, you weigh the bad versus the good.
But I think that's what the numbers do in this sense. The numbers are weighing the bad and the good, and it's taking our emotion out of it.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Jacksonville scores a touchdown and the Eagles lose.
Mm-hmm.
You have the same feeling about everything?
Yes.
Nah.
I do. Because I could turn that around on you, right?
Here's what I would tell you. Here's what I would tell you. That's because you have firmly planted your feet there.
Sure.
But what do you think the majority of this fan base would feel? Even the ones that are okay with it because they won.
I think the majority of the fan base would feel the way that they feel. I agree with you in that. The majority of the fan base will say Nick Sirianni gave the game away.
Cost him the game.
But I think they would be wrong. I think they would be wrong in that instance. I don't think if they call a play that happens not to work. I'm not talking about in that situation.
Sure,
I'm talking about any situation. It's not necessarily the person called the play that it's not the play that was called that the reason they didn't get the points.
I agree with that, but that's everything.
Sure, yes, yeah,
that's everything. When it works, it's great. The point is when it doesn't work.
Yep, but
and you had other alternatives.
Hmm?
So it's okay for you to say, okay, be aggressive, but it better work if you're being aggressive.
What?
When I can easily just kick the field goal and I got points on the board. Like it's I know that's a safer play, and when it doesn't work, you can't use analytics and numbers to justify it.
But
that's what is happening.
But in my head, it's not the safer play. In my head, it's
the riskier
play.
Because you convince yourself the other thing.
Sure.
And what I'm saying is, prior to 10 years ago, no one thought that way.
Absolutely.
And football existed for years. Great players, great coaches, won championships, all those things, playing football that way.
Yep.
And it actually still works for coaches in today's game. It still works.
The other way worked for us too, though.
I agree with that. I'm not saying it's the wrong thing. I'm saying is the idea of doing it that way isn't a bad thing. And maybe you wouldn't have as many people questioning him as a coach. That's the other thing. I really do like Nick. And sometimes, you know, when you really like somebody and you don't want to see them get criticized.
Sure,
and
yep.
You're like, dude, just do the simple thing, man.
Yes. So I don't have to talk about this
tomorrow. Have to deal with this, man. Just do the simple thing so I don't have to either criticize you or defend you.
Sure.
Just do the simple thing right. And I still believe this. And it's an organizational thing. And your dad brought this up. I believe it was either, I don't know if he brought it up with you on the Monday night show or with Jack the other night, about him getting the numbers from upstairs.
Yeah.
people calling down to him, telling him these are the percentages.
Yeah, well, that was me. And I said, is that why Big Dom got the headset?
It was there, right.
Yes. To intimidate the analytics.
So I say this to say, with more established coaches, that you may feed them those numbers and they still say, nah, I'm kicking the field goal here.
Oh, sure. I'm sure that happens.
With him, it's more or less, okay, this is what they say I need to do, then this is what I need to do. I don't want Nick to be the reason why they don't want to see him, man. Because you know it's going to be fire Nick, get him out of here. You know, I actually want Nick to be here, man.
I want Nick to be the reason they do win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yes.
I can take that, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can be the reason they win by doing the simple things. Yeah. It's when you try to be too cute. I'm telling you.
All right.
So we got Dan Campbell.
215-592-9494.
Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
You think he should have gone for a touchdown in the Super Bowl or kicked the field goal?
Well, right. In retrospect,
right.
You kicked the field goal.
No.
You go for the touchdown. Right. You go for the touchdown.
Yeah, because now you're giving the ball back to Patrick Mahomes
to decide. Who, you don't want the ball in his hands
to decide
the Super Bowl.
Your
faith. Yes.
Go ahead.
All right. 215-592-9494. Should Sirianni and the Eagles double down?
Part of me is like, Nick, listen to me.
Mostly because you're going to have to defend.
Yeah, I'm like, listen to me.
Well, I can feel that with you, by the way, watching the game, just going,
oh God.
I'm going to have to talk about this tomorrow. Leading us off, Corey in Columbus here on WIP.
Hey, man, you only go for it when you got Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes on the other side. That's the only time you go for it.
Other than
that, you kick the field goal.
Listen, Shut his hole!
Ike is right as usual. I got to put this point out here real quick. Just real quick. My man, you know, Ike, my man, he always doing it. But I got to talk to the Grinch and Scrooge real quick. You know, y'all, karma is real. Like, y'all sit up here, y'all call Jalen Hurts. Spike, you do say he's the 16th, 17th best quarterback. Jack say noodle arm and all that. You know what I'm saying? And I've been preaching equality for you. I want every – if you're a fan of the team, I get it. You ain't got to let him, man. You can say, hey, I think he should play better. But y'all don't got to pile on and have that sharp tongue like y'all be having.
You're talking to Jack here, not me. I don't have a sharp tongue.
What sharp tongue?
Well, with Jalen.
That first round exit for them Phillies, them 1-7 Sixers.
You're a fraud Laker fan in Ohio. What are we talking
just like
about?
LeBron. Yeah,
who would ever do that?
There's so many frauds from Ohio.
Let me talk real quick. I'm a Kobe fan, just like Ike.
That's right.
You got Lakers in your bio, bro.
Just like Ike. Yeah, because I ain't going to change up teams like Ike.
Yeah, but Ike ditched them.
I'm catching strays.
Y'all always going to give them. Ike from Ohio, too.
That's true. Yeah.
Don't do that.
They've accepted my flaws, though. They've already accepted that, yeah.
But I say that to say, Corey, that you are, and I want to create a slight division between me and Jack here.
We are aligned, brother.
No. In one thing, whereas you, Corey, don't have an emotional connection to the Sixers or the Phillies,
right.
But you do with the Eagles,
right.
And Jack has this weird
emotional connection with the Phillies.
Okay. But just let me
I just root for everybody.
But so do I. Right. I'm rooting for the Eagles. I'm like, I don't want the Eagles to fail at the expense of the Sixers succeeding. Whereas Jack, currently, it may be argued that he wants the Eagles to fail at the expense of the Phillies. I'm not
having
that way.
A hard time.
Yes. I'm not that way.
Y'all come, like, you can criticize everybody. Like, if you play bad, you deserve criticism. Like, when y'all be coming at Hurts, y'all come sharp. Like, come and you ain't say he was the 16th best quarterback in the league. Don't say you ain't say that.
No, I do. I think he's mid-pack. I do. What do you want me to say? Do you want me to lie to you? That's not. But that's not sharp tongue. That's just how I feel.
That's your opinion, yeah.
I'm not trying to. Sharp tongue would say he's bottom third, just to make a point. I'm not trying to make a point.
You feel that. You know you.
Can I be honest with you? Let's take a guy that you would. I would rather have Kirk Cousins be the quarterback than Jalen Hurts. I think he would give them a better chance to win.
Okay, that's cool. I'm just saying, you know, 1-7. You know, supposed to be a
But that's what you're doing. They're 1-6. But that's what you're doing. And by the way, Lakers aren't looking that great right now either.
They're garbage. I would tell you that.
Okay. All right, so Corey.
Let's get on to Nick Sirianni. Look,
it's the longest phone call of all time.
Yeah, but bro, what do you want him to do?
Kiss my ass. Sirianni just got to be smart, man. Like you can't.
Oh, hit the breaking news sounder.
Yeah.
Pretty much like I said, like the other night, Ty Bowles, he should have went for two. Like, just go for two in right situations. Like you don't got to go up two when the other team got zero.
But the right situation is when the data tells you the right situation is the right situation.
Hogwash.
I don't know what the data say. All I know is, like,
by the way,
like,
none of us know what that data says.
Yes,
they just keep it close to vest. Yeah, over there.
We tried. I tried asking Brandon. I tried asking Jordan. Nobody will tell me.
Football been playing for 100 years. Andy Reid, Belichick, them dudes win all the time. They don't be doing all that goofy stuff.
So, yeah, I don't see Andy do a lot of this. Yeah, I don't see Andy do a lot of that.
I want to be like a winner.
Well,
so whatever you got to do to win, I will be studying Andy Reid after every game. Nick Sirianni, you watch tape on other teams, watch tape on Andy Reid.
Well, maybe when you have a real quarterback, you don't have to maximize every single possession.
That's the sharp tongue.
That's the sharp tongue right there.
All I know is the quarterback that he got has the highest winning percentage in the NFL. So you can say all that.
Corey.
Yeah, I love Corey. That was a long call. It took him 4 minutes to get to the
yes, to the Knicks, though.
He was done, and he goes, all right, let me get to Nick Sirianni. He's like, whoa. Jack, what's your stupid opinion on this whole thing?
You just can listen. I know, Spike, you didn't play sports at a high level.
I did.
Neither did Ike and I.
You did not play sports at a high level.
I'm one of four. Scholarship athletes.
Athletes here.
Okay. Scholarship.
How'd that go when you got that scholarship?
I willfully gave it up.
Okay.
Because I'm a team guy.
What was your ERA?
It's like 9-something.
Okay, all right.
9-something. Yeah. You never bring up my cape or 9?
Yeah, okay.
Talk about my 53 straight perfect books.
Okay.
At some point, you got to just use your gut. And, you know, we all talk... Your face is just sipping in there.
Yeah.
But here's what I want to bring up, all right? In all seriousness, because we're a serious sports show.
Get serious in there.
Yeah.
We all talk about Dan Campbell. Oh, he's a riverboat gambler. But all he does, like, he goes for it all the time. They are 15th this year in going for it on fourth down, where the Eagles are still top five. He's adjusted. It cost his team the NFC Championship.
Because they have a better offense than we do. Because we have a limited number of opportunities to score points, and we have to maximize them. We have an offense that takes 100 years to move the ball down the field and 75 plays. And because of that, because we're getting yards at 5 plays a clip, we have to maximize every time we're down the field. There's a reason Detroit is scoring 50 points and we're not. So that's it. Okay. Coming up next.
You know he's going to cost him a playoff game. You just know it.
And that's what I'm seeing.
You know
that's
he's going
what
to do
I'm
it.
Hoping does not happen.
He's like a blackjack player that keeps saying,
cost us the Super Bowl by not being aggressive.
Because he hasn't had a feel for the game. That's why
he should just go for the numbers.
He doesn't have a feel. That's the biggest issue.
Well, then you want him to use his gut, and he says he has a bad gut.
He's got a bad about everything.
All right,
okay?
All right, enough out of you. That's not what we're doing. Ike, more bad news for the Sixers, which we'll talk about next. It seems like...
We don't want no more bad news, man.
We're going to have to talk about some more bad news. That is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike Spike.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800.
See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
And Fritz, oh, I like this. You gotta know when to hold, know when to fold 'em.
And he said, I'm doubling down.
Walk away, know when to run. You never count your money while you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. See, I don't think Nick's a gambler.
Oh, he's a gambler.
He's just being aggressive. He's doubling down. That's what he's doing.
So I was out there talking to Eagle great Seth Joyner.
Oh, what's he think?
The hammer.
He's not my hammer. We got Jonah Cameron's my hammer.
Yeah. What about BG? BG.
The Dave? Hammer is real.
Yeah,
for real.
We got a bunch of hammers here.
Dave Schultz.
Yep. Also the hammer. So before we get back to Nick Sirianni and topic today, I just think he should keep doing what they've been doing. Been doing since 2017. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Stay aggressive. 215-592-9494. Before we get to that, so Sixers playing in Los Angeles last night, Clippers. They lose the game. It was your typical Sixers game of this year. Mm. Keep it close in the first half. Get your ass kicked in the third quarter. Game over.
They were winning when I went to sleep.
Yeah, maybe they should have. They should have all just gone home at that point. So, I think it was late third quarter. Maxey leaves the game with hamstring tightness. After the game, we have so many Knicks here. Nick Nurse thinks it's not a big deal, but announced today per Shams and confirmed by many that Tyrese Maxey will miss the next 2 to 3 weeks with his hamstring injury, which is, you know, not great timing as you are 1-6 and you know, the season has not started in the way we wanted to. I feel like I shouldn't do this.
Here we go.
Well, so this is not good. Losing Tyrese Maxey is not good.
Right.
Being 1-6 is not good.
Right.
None of this stuff is good. Here's the good news I would give you.
You have some good news for us? Okay.
I'm trying to settle everybody down a little bit because I felt the same way. Most of the Eastern Conference stinks so far. There's two really good teams so far this year in the Eastern Conference, Boston and Cleveland.
Yep.
Currently, even at 1-6, the Sixers are 2 games out of the 4 seed. At this point,
okay.
I'm just telling you the facts.
Sort of give it just two things to keep in mind.
Okay.
First thing, you know, New York's Knicks are 3-4. I think Milwaukee's 1-6 as well. Mm-hmm. Orlando lost Paolo Banchero for six weeks, and Embiid comes back on Tuesday. And here is the reality of all of it: is that Tyrese Maxey is a good player who helps them win, absolutely, but. We've seen over the last several years, you throw Embiid out there with a bunch of role players. They play at a 50-win pace. You throw Maxey out there with a bunch of role players. They're 1-6. Mm-hmm. Just showing you who affects winning from a top-down thing. I think they can, if Embiid comes back and plays the cadence we expect, doesn't play back-to-backs, but plays the other games, I think they are able to hold water, whatever you want to say, stay afloat for the next few weeks without Maxey. I think this will sound crazy, but putting Kyle Lowry in there and Eric Gordon in there is a better substitute for Maxey than Andre Drummond is for Embiid. Just if we're picking one or the other. Now, unfortunately, they're without both, and it's I guess you would say likely or at least possible they'll be 1-8 going into the Embiid game. Hopefully they win the Charlotte game maybe, or they win the Laker game. They're 2-7, which is not great, but they are blessed with the fact that they are not in the Western Conference, that Embiid is coming back. And I do think things will settle down once Joel is in there. But you have to say, even the most optimistic person, there's with as good as this offseason went, and I thought it went incredibly well as you could hope for, the start to this season has been miserable and disastrous. And it's very hard to feel positive or optimistic about a fan, as a fan at this point.
Yeah. I don't even want to think about how it could be worse than what it is right now.
Right.
I will say this. It's early. There are a lot of games still left to play. I don't want to throw the towel in on the season. I'm not going to do that because I when the big fella gets back out there and I can see what he looks like, and that's when I'll really look at the season officially starting.
Sure, yeah.
So we got time. And so I don't need to overreact, or luckily we're in the middle of another season, something right. that can distract me. Hopefully when I look up in January.
For me.
You know, yeah, hopefully when I look up in January, we're looking okay.
For me, I'm going to watch every single one of these games.
Of course, I'm going to pay attention, yeah. yes.
But for me, it's like, okay, when Maxi comes back December 1st or whatever, let's look at where they are right that minute and then sort of decide if the world is ending or the world isn't ending. I don't think the world is ending as of yet. I guess the way I would say it feels worse than it actually is right now. In totality, it feels worse than it is. And for anyone saying that they should tank or anything like that, there is no chance of them doing that.
No.
They only have to be a top 10 team to at least be a play-in team. They will take the play-in over the lottery any day of the week. And they're not doing that. It would have to be catastrophic for them to do that. That's not in the situation they
are in. And I wouldn't want them to do that. It's way too much basketball left to be played. And, you know, you look at this team, you just wonder, you know, can a team have enough time to rebound and gel and play at a level high enough that it can even get you out of the first round?
Yes. That's
what you start to wonder.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what you do. And they're betting on the talent, at least to a certain point, you know, getting them there,
yeah.
I guess, you know. So it would be the Sixers' way to get into the playoffs in a disaster season in the play-in, and somehow that be the year they get to the conference finals. I guess we've tried the one seed way.
Yep.
So maybe the disaster season is the way to get there. I don't know. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Our football team is chasing a championship ring. Make her feel like a world champion every day with a ring from Mark's. Mark's-jewelers.com. Oh, Jack just put up another one. Should the Sixers tank and try to get Cooper Flagg?
What are the early results?
But
65% yes.
Well, the problem with tanking in the NBA now is since they screwed with the lottery odds, even if you have the worst record in the NBA, I think you only have an 18% chance of getting the number one pick. And it's going to be very hard for them to have the worst record in the NBA with PG and Maxi in there. In any case, the one that we need to care about right now, we have an emergency Flyers and 50 coming up at 3:30. How long should we give Broads on today's Flyers and 50? 42 seconds, which is what he's supposed to get, 50, which is what we started with, or a full minute with a bonus 10 seconds because of Michkov getting benched. What do you think people are saying at this point?
A full minute with the bonus 10 seconds.
67% say Broads gets a full minute.
Yeah.
There we go. Broads going to
cook. And I voted too.
Yeah.
For that.
And
the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say this to Broads, if you're listening, Broads, which I know he is. If you're cooking, there's a chance we could let you power through the horn. You better cook.
Yeah.
You better cook.
And it better be about firing the head coach.
Yes.
If it's anything in between.
No.
No interest.
Look, you're talking about a show, at least two-thirds of us, that knows how to tank. Or knows how to rebuild. You don't rebuild and then not play your star player.
Yeah.
For your 19-year-old.
Yeah.
As many games as he can play this year.
Yeah. I don't care what he looks like. As long as he's not, yeah. But like, what? Like, what?
Yeah. As long as he's not as long as he's not playing drunk.
Right.
He should be in the game. 215-592-9494. Now, maybe that's possible. I don't want to start any rumors. Nick in Collegeville. You're on WIP. What's up, Nick?
Well, if he only had like two beers, or like say a shot of vodka.
Yeah, it depends on how long.
Well, listen, back when men were men.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, by the third period, it'll wear off.
Yeah.
So. I wonder what Tasty Cakes Dom's opinion is.
On the Sixers thing. Oh, yeah. He's dying. Yeah.
Good to talk to you guys.
Yes, sir. What's up, Nick?
I'm so happy you guys circled back to this topic, because this is what I want to talk to you guys about on Tuesday, but you were kind of doing soft Eagle stuff. Here's my only question about analytics. It's to everybody, not just you, Spike.
Yeah.
If the statistical data is exactly the same, it doesn't matter if I'm playing the best defense. Let's just talk about tush push. Mm-hmm. The best defensive line with the best two tackles in the league, or the worst defensive line with the worst four down linemen on defense. And that's where like, you know, like the football guy, no joking. You know, that's what Ike
knows what I'm talking about.
And, well, I'm saying the data's got to be different depending on who you're playing.
Yes.
Well, but you're saying
personnel does matter.
But Nick, let's go into the game against Jacksonville. Jacksonville does not have a particularly good defense. So, and we have a good offensive line, and we have a play that works pretty consistently. So no matter how good the data is, there's going to be no play they're ever going to run that you're going to have, hey, this is a guarantee that this is going to work. So while I agree with you that the skill of the players should play into that, of course, just like if somebody's injured, you should look at that. You can only work with what you have. And essentially what people are saying is they trust Nick's gut over what the data says, which seems crazy to me. That people who don't even trust him in the first place would trust his gut over what the data says.
Look, here's the other thing that you don't... Well, first of all, Dougie P. originated the tush-push with Stoutland. So it originated with his brain. Now, it's been refined. It's slightly different. But he has a really good defensive tackle that, as we noticed, really pushed that offensive line back. And that's why we were so unsuccessful. The other thing is, when you're a better team, this is why Andy doesn't go for all those extra points. When you are consistently the better team, it's like a seven-game series, you just want to play it straight. Because over a longer period of time, you do better than the worst team that you're playing. Mm-hmm. So, and that's why Andy doesn't do it. I understand he has the best quarterback in the league and all that, and they rarely have trouble scoring. But that's why Alabama rarely did that kind of stuff. Because they had the best players at the best positions. Their thing is, as long as I get the ball back, I'm going to get more plays, and I want regular plays and not these fourth and two or fourth and threes or fourth and 3 inches.
So
and that's what it is.
So here's the part of that where I disagree with you. The Eagles, the way they play, shorten the game. Now, unfortunately, what that does for them is it creates more randomness. If they were an even better team and they were going to get more drives and have more opportunities to score, then that's one thing. But they don't. And I do feel like partially what they're doing is because it takes them so many plays to get into the red zone and so many that they have to maximize each possession by getting as many points out of that possession as possible. So because what can happen is, and trust me, I understand when I'm watching the game, and here's the tough part is when I'm watching the game, I'm saying the same things that you guys are saying.
Yeah, because that's the feel you have.
That's right.
But exactly.
But that's the most important time to not do those things is to let your fear or worry or misassessment of risk because of the way that you're feeling overtake what is the right play and the right thing to do. So what I would say is the problem with their short number of possessions and small number of possessions is that every time you take three rather than seven, you actually make it so much easier for the other team to come back, which is partially what happened with Jacksonville. The Jacksonville game is so...
Well, it wasn't because we were kicking field goals.
No, but it was because...
Well, it wasn't.
Well, no, think about this. In the times that we had, if we had kicked field goals instead of... They came back so easily because we didn't have a lot of points. Yeah. Now, part of it was because the plays didn't work.
Yeah.
But if the plays do work, then Jacksonville has no chance at the end of the game.
Just like had you just kicked the field goals or the extra points, you're up by 7 or 8 points, and maybe it's a little harder for Jacksonville to come back. You've essentially kept them in the game not needing more possessions because you didn't capitalize. Sure, if everything worked, then yeah, you would have been up by X amount of points. The problem was most of them didn't work.
Well, but that's why we're on the complete other side of this right now, which is why I think our brains are a little bit skewed by what happened on Sunday because they were so unsuccessful in those plays.
Yeah, they left 9 points on the board.
Don't you dare with the left of points on the board.
They left. Here's the thing. It's not about how many points left on the board during the entire game. It's in the beginning when they were up 10-0. They left a field goal off the board and
yep.
two extra points. If you put five more points on the board and then they pick up a fumble in the second half and run it into a touchdown, they're no longer a 7 or 6 point. They're not down 6 or 7 points. They're still down 11
or 12. But Nick, what I'm telling you, and I trust me, I understand where you're coming from. But what I'm telling you is that if on that fourth and three, the one where Jalen missed AJ and the drive ended, if that had worked and AJ had scored there, which the play looked like it could have gone, what I would tell you, Nick, is that you left 4 points on the board by kicking that field goal rather than going for the touchdown. Do you see what I'm saying? The way that you're saying they're leaving points on the field, I'm saying that you could say that the other way too when it succeeds. And that's why you just have to follow the numbers in that situation, because if you just go with your gut, you're going to end up, you could end up in the exact same place, if not worse.
Spike, I agree with what you said the time before that, which is because we're taking more plays on offense to score 7 points, that you're actually shortening the game, so you need to maximize possessions and points. Here's the only difference. If I'm playing Detroit in Detroit and I know they're going to put up 45, then I'm more aggressive with my statistical numbers. If I'm playing Jacksonville at home and we already rolled up 10 points on them, then my only goal is, it's like a gambling line. You know there's a gambling line, like who gets the 10 points first? Who gets the 16 points first?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's what I try to do. As a better team at home, who already has the lead, my next thing is, let me get points. I don't need to maximize my points because they're already two possessions down. If I put a field goal up there, they're still two possessions down because two touchdowns takes the lead. But then I already know an additional field goal or an additional touchdown puts them three possessions away or four. So that's my only thing.
I got you. All right, Nick.
All right, fellas, have fun.
All right, Nick.
There he is. 215-592-9494.
If Jalen gets sacked on the play that he threw the ball short to A.J. Brown, that's still a great call.
Yes. not great call. I want to make it clear. I don't think it's a great call. What my point is, and OG said this on Monday, and unfortunately it stuck with me, is that if you're going to do this, you have to do it every time. You don't have to go for it every time, but you have to follow the numbers every time, because you're only going to come out ahead that way if you consistently do it the same way. The numbers don't work if you're not using the numbers all the time.
Let me tell you what Sunday felt like to a lot of people, including myself. I won't exclude myself in this. But at some point, it felt like we were trying to prove how smart we are, how smarter we are than everyone else. And that's where that's what rubs people the wrong way. And that's what'll get in the way of logic when it's like, okay, you got 16. Why are you going for 2 points? I don't care if it was a penalty. Go up three scores. It's almost as if we're trying to prove, and I don't even know if it's all Nick. And that's why I feel bad for him, because he's relying on resources that are available to him in this organization that's a part of the philosophy. But they're not down there on the field. They don't have to answer for this stuff. And so it almost says to me, well, this part of our department is smarter than yours, and this is why we do this, and this and that and the other. Like, it was unnecessary. You had an inferior opponent that your defense is dominating. They can barely move out. They had 30 yards total in the first half. Why are we treating this like this is the Chiefs or the Lions, where we need to score 40 points in order to win?
This is going to make you crazy, but I almost want the person making the decision to not have to answer for it.
Because that's easy for them to do it, because they don't have to answer for it.
Yeah, but
how's Nick sound explaining it?
And I want them to not have to answer for it, because I don't want that to be part of the equation. I want the only thing to be part of the equation, what is the right play? What is the right play based on all of the information we have? I don't want if the person has to answer for it, that's when they start thinking, well, if I do this, WIP is going to think this tomorrow.
But this is where Nick gets so much criticism. And this is why people like myself, who want to defend him and want him to be validated for being a good coach, is that I don't know if he is completely all on board with this stuff. Like, because it's just certain things that a football coach would just do to keep the game simple. And the players, God bless them. I love them. They want to defend their coach. They should. Because it's certainly less harmful to just say, we support our coach being aggressive. He believes in us. We believe in him.
Yep.
Versus saying, I don't really know. I'm telling you. I guarantee you. Some of them sitting over there like, man, why don't we just kick the damn field goal? Why don't we just take the extra point? Just take the points. And it's easy to say that when you win.
Yep.
You start losing games or you cost yourself a playoff spot, and that's what I don't want to happen. And you almost, like seasons, sort of as they go along, you start to see themes form. And what has formed with this team is gone from being, this is a dysfunctional team, they collapsed last year, they don't like to coach. It's gone from that to being, this is a team, they found their identity, they found their formula, they are a Super Bowl contending team, but the coach is going to cost them. That's the theme and the narrative that has formed around Coach Sirianni. We got away with it in New Orleans. People questioned him after the Falcons game. I defended him, but people questioned him after the Falcons game, how that ended. I'm just saying, there's been several games where people are questioning, what is he doing? The Cleveland game, right before the half, you know, Saquon goes out of bounds. That's on him.
Yep.
But then we call a timeout. The next play, we still get a delay of game, and then we wind up getting sacked. Then next thing you know, the field goal gets blocked. And it's gone for a touchdown, and now we're in a dogfight with a team we shouldn't be in a dogfight with.
So what would you say to, because the thing we mentioned in the open is that against the Chiefs, they didn't do it. And he was criticized for not being aggressive. Mm-hmm. So my thing is like, no matter how they lose, he's going to get criticized.
Yeah.
So I just want them to, I don't
just
want them
to stick to what they do.
I just want them to, and that's why, it's not that I don't have the respect for the players on the sideline and playing the game. Of course, I have a ton of respect.
Because they're the ones that have to go out there and make him look good or not.
100%, nothing but respect. But that's also why I don't want them making the decision either. Like, that's why I think somebody who is neutral, who is not worried about what WIP or the players are going to say about him afterwards. That's why that person saying this is the right play is almost the right person to do it, because the only reason they're making that call is because the data tells them.
Yeah, and it's a faceless person who doesn't have to answer for it.
Yes, but I think that's okay.
Okay, but I'm just telling you, that's why people are thinking this may be what costs them ultimately.
Yes. I understand it. All right. You know, Sheil would be a good person to ask this about. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk to Sheil next. I also want to ask Sheil, because we got an interesting answer from Baldy yesterday on Saquon touches. I didn't expect Baldy to say cut his touches. I also didn't expect Baldy to say give it to Gainwell more. As I didn't think I was getting an agreement from that on Baldy yesterday.
Well, it was a little bit too much. He's a good player.
So we'll talk to Baldy next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. By the way, tomorrow you can come hang out with the WIP Afternoon Show. We had somebody win in the Eagles Autism Foundation auction, a live broadcast. So tomorrow we'll be at Lansdale Family Dentistry, which is part of the Dudat Dental Group, the official dentist of the Eagles. So we'll be there. The show's 2 to 6.
Do that.
Swoop and the cheerleader is going to be there from 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
Reed Blankenship, one half of Bread and Butter. We'll be there from 4 to 4:30.
See, and which one he wants to be, or butter?
I'm asking him that. And then he's going to sign autographs there from 4:30 to 6. So there'll be drinks and food and games and prizes.
It's going to be a party.
Come on out. That is tomorrow, Lansdale Family Dentistry, in support of the Eagles Autism Foundation. If you want more details, 94WIP.com. That's where you get it, the events page.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season, but this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.